You're on the edge with April Mahoney Brains. How are you? You're at the spot, your favorite place, the podcast, where the conversations are pointed and the guests, there she is, are sharp and the responses are never dull. Going to Canada, oh yeah, BC, with Kirsten McNeil. She is a book editor. I was just talking to another author, the interview before, and that's not an easy job. Well, maybe it's an easy job for her because she has that eagle eye. You know, she knows how to position things, and, you know, dot your I's and cross your T's. But I'm telling you, when you write a book, that editing is, you know, you think you've written the book, but after you have to go over the rewrites and all of that, it can be a drag. But it doesn't seem like she'd be a drag. And also, she's a confidence coach. How do we raise our confidence? So if you are a aspiring author, you're writing a book, but you just don't know how to get it out there, you just don't feel good about what you wrote, or maybe it's a really deep issue, what she's going to do is talk to us a little bit how she merges these two together to create the perfect recipe for success. So, Kirsten, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, and hello to the brains.
Hey, yay, yay. So tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Yeah, so I'm Kirsten. I'm all sorts of creative. I'm a writer myself. That's how I got started into, you know, book editing and coaching. I've been writing since I was 7 years old, you know, about cats and dogs, and slowly evolving what my topics are as I grow and learn about myself. And I really love being able to offer that book editing and coaching and kind of combine the technical side with the mindset, which I've seen a lot of challenges in my time on social media with writers just being able to make that time to write and be able to just fill out their passions. I'm so passionate about being creative and helping others find their way and just being sunflower sunshine. You know, my branding's all sunflowers, so that's part of me too.
That's beautiful. It is a level of confidence that needs to be developed, because when you write something, not only is it cathartic, but you're pulling back the layers of an onion. You're vulnerable. You are exposing your thoughts, your ideas, your pain, your sorrow, your joy, your relationships, all on this piece of paper for the world to see. And putting it together can be intimidating. I know. I've written 3 books. The first two were poetry, which was really cool because, you know, I got a vibe. I got a synchronicity. But to write a novel, I don't know. That would take a lot for me. It takes a lot for me, too, because I grew up dyslexic. It wasn't severe, but it was severe enough to hinder me. And what people also need to understand is the significance and the importance of an editor. Just because you learn differently, I don't want to say a challenge, you learn differently, doesn't mean that you're dumb. If your spelling is poor, doesn't mean that you have a poor vocabulary, but you need someone to look at your document with an eagle eye, because people will judge you when you are in print. Oh my gosh, she spelled they, or there, or then, or what? They don't know that you've had this challenge before. So you really need to work with a trusted professional. Do you find that people are, you know, kind of insecure and dial back and don't really express themselves because of the challenges that they may have had with learning differently?
Yeah, I think there's definitely challenges that comes in. You know, I like to say a lot that everybody's going to have their own journey, because there's these, you know, stereotypes out there of you should write every day. And, you know, if you're not published, you're not a writer. So there's things that can come in that, you know, there are ways to make it work for yourself. So it's really just about getting to know who you are, you know, what your strengths are and what you want from your writing. And, you know, there are some people that want to be full-time writers and some people just want to, you know, publish as they can. And I think it's just really important to remember where you're coming from and, you know, what strengths you have. And some things aren't in your control, whether it's, you know, the the learning skills you have, or the other responsibilities in your life. A lot of writers that I've connected with on Instagram are parents, so they have younger kids, and they want to be able to make time for them as well as writing. So it's definitely important to know what you want to prioritize and really figure out what goals you have, so that you can reach everything that you want to accomplish, but you're also not like putting yourself down because, oh, I didn't write today, or oh, I can't do this because I have these challenges, or because I, don't have the energy, or things like that. There's always kind of that balance of like, is this an excuse, or is this really something to overcome? So it's really finding that balance between, what am I gonna do? What do I want? And what resources do I have to get me there? And editing and coaching are definitely resources that can help out with that, right?
Let me ask you a question. Do you always get A's in English?
I think I got at least B's for the most part. There were
Okay.
some certain parts of English that were a little bit more challenging. I took English lit in grade 12, and that was a little bit more of like analyzing and things like that. But
Right.
editing wise, I've always been pretty good at.
So, what are some of the challenges that editors find?
Yeah, I think when I first started out, one of the challenges is that I wanted to work with everybody. I wanted to help everybody. So I really had to learn, like, okay, what genres am I best at? How much time do I have to spend on editing, and how much time do I need? And everybody's going to be a little bit different with how they write and what they want you to look into as an editor. So just knowing, the right questions to ask when you're looking to work with someone. You don't just want to jump right into it and be like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna take on your project. Usually there's, a sample edit that comes in first, and you want to make sure that you understand their goals for the book. So there was definitely a big learning curve for me of the right way to approach things. Even though I was really good at the technical side, it was more just that, how do you build that right relationship right off the bat before you dive into a project, and then all these miscommunications might come up, right?
And I'm glad that you brought that up because you have to find the right fit. There's certain nuances, there's certain languages, there's certain slangs, there's certain satire that people like to include in their writing. So you have to build a relationship with the writer and the editor so that you are able to communicate their voice, because you don't want to go in there and edit it so much that you've butchered it and you've changed the entire vibe, then it's not their work anymore. So building that relationship, finding an editor that works for you is so important. And editing is not, it doesn't have to be overly expensive, but it's not cheap. What is, like, not your particular pricing structure, but do they do by the page? Do they do by the word? How do editors set their fees?
For me, I do based on word count, and I know other editors who have done it of just like a per project base, so they could just, talk to the writer about their budget and everything. But typically it's like a sliding scale. Everybody's kind of got their own thing. What goes into editing isn't just, reading it, checking for typos, and that's it, right? There's that time to make sure you understand the sentence. Maybe, my brain will get tired, so I don't want to work on it, 24 hours a day, right? So there's a lot that goes into that, not just, technical side of it. There's that energy and being able to put that time into it. And every editor is going to have a different way that they do things, and there's different types of editings too, so that can definitely affect the cost, depending on which stage of editing you're at.
And how it makes sense. I was just talking to another writer, and as a writer, we overwrite. We write so much. And a portion of that, maybe a fourth of it, an eighth of it, is not even going to go to print because it has to make sense. And it's great to have an editor that takes their time because they want it. The ebbs and the flows. They want the peaks and valleys. They want to make sure that you're using the right adjectives. They want to make sure that, that you're exciting the audience, that you're whetting their appetite, that you're keeping them curious. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, for sure. These days, it's definitely about attention span. back when, all the classics that we study now, there's that big flowery language, all those descriptions. But nowadays, it's just like, get to the point. What are you trying to say? That, gut punch impact and really let people feel it in the moment with the characters or whatever type of story that you're writing. You just want to make that impact, have that purpose. And one thing I say a lot in editing, you want to have a purpose of each sentence, each detail that you want. Like, it doesn't have to be this big grandiose thing, but you have to know, okay, why is this in here? Why is this word choice needed for this part of the story?
Right. I know that this is probably not something that you do all the time, but is there a lot of editing that's done also in audiobooks?
I haven't looked too much into that myself, but that might be interesting for some writers to get into if they want to do audiobooks, because I know typically there are audiobook narrators that you can hire and things like that. And I believe you need to have some kind of like stylized manuscript about like, okay, how do you say this nuanced and how do you want the accent to sound and things like that. So there would be a little bit of an extra layer of preparing that book to create an audiobook, unless you're just like reading it out yourself, because then you obviously know how you want it to sound. But there, if you're going to hire that extra help, there's definitely that added layer.
So how did you jump into confidence coaching, and what is that all about? How do you raise people's
Yeah.
confidence?
Yeah, that was definitely a journey that I didn't expect for myself. When I was a kid, I'm like, I'm going to be a writer one day. And that was what I stuck to for so long. And then I kind of naturally got into book editing. And like I said, that was the technical side of things. And then as I've seen and connected with more writers on Instagram, I see these feelings and challenges that come up of like, I'm not good enough. What do I have to say? It's not new. There's all these like, those doubts that get into our head that really affect us, right? And I really wanted to help change that and help people find their path and be like, you can do whatever you want. Like, you're not going to create anything groundbreaking these days that never ever has been done before, but you can create something from your perspective that's really unique and new to you because you're the one creating it. So there's that difference there. So I looked into getting my certification in life and wellness, and now I've just kind of slowly niched down into now I've really understand what I want to do. So that's why I call myself a confidence coach, because that's kind of the core of what I value. And sunflowers represent that as well, and just being able to help writers feel like, okay, I got this, I know what I want, I'm gonna do it. Like, I'm not gonna listen to other people in the way that, like, don't listen to that judgment of like criticism and everything, and just really knowing where other people are coming from. It's kind of that, take it with a grain of salt type thing, and like, are these the people you really want to listen to? So just really helping guide writers into the people they want to surround themselves with, the life that they want to create for themselves. Because when you're a writer, you're not just a writer. There's so many things that can come into play, right? So just being able to find that balance and everything, and just feel good and just be happy,
Just be happy. But it's that individual spark, individuality.
For sure.
What makes you stand out different than any, because we're all individuals. So what makes you different than Betty or Sue or Kim? They may have written a story or they may have written a cookbook. Does yours have, questions in the back or a journaling section? So there's a lot of creativity that you can bring to the table. I had one woman that was on my show, and she was really talking about a very heavy subject about how, she had been violated. But what she did was she wrote it in the third person, but from somewhere in outer space. She told her story, but it wasn't directly related to her, so she could step outside of herself. Create this, science fiction type of deal, but also be very relatable to a situation that's happening right now. So, brains, you just have to sit there with a pencil and a piece of paper and just go for it. And there's going to be tons of paper on the floor. I know I did. When I was writing, I didn't even think poetry was going to be that deep. But then when I went and I read it live and, got the hand claps and the finger snaps and people were, liking it. And I have sold 25,000 copies of my books, and I'm not on Amazon. So that's huge. So selling it through too, getting that exposure, going out, doing reads at the public library, doing online book signings, doing online book readings, doing some Q&A, going to women's groups or the library if it's, for children or, men's groups, Seropsimus. There's a whole lot of ways of getting that book shopped. And it's hard finding a publisher. There's going to be a lot of rejection because it's a flooded highway. But do not give up because you are creating a legacy. You are creating, your body of work. You're leaving an imprint on the planet. So I say keep doing it and build your confidence. Let's ask you some fun questions about you. If you were not a book editor and a confidence coach, what would you be?
Ooh, that's a good question. It's funny because I always say, like, I can't imagine myself doing something else. But if I did have the right talent, I might try to be a musician because I really like music and I haven't played in a while, but I do play guitar and piano. So I feel like I could be like a singer of some sorts.
Or you can put those two skills together. You're a
Yeah.
wordsmith with some music. I can see you topping the top 40. If you were a appliance in the kitchen, Kirsten, what appliance would you be?
That's an interesting one. My first thought was the fridge, but maybe that's just because like all the food's there and everybody comes there a lot. So like it seems like an important part of the kitchen.
It is. I'd be the coffee maker.
Nice.
I want to keep you going. I want to smell good. I want to wake you up in the morning. I want to be a part of your life all day long. If you had three magical wishes, anything, what would it be?
I would wish for everyone to be happy because that would be fun, and that's like my mission. I'm just gonna go with what's coming right into my head. I would want a horse because I love horses and I've always wanted one, but they're very expensive. And I'd wanna travel to new places, always be able to travel somewhere without having to think about it.
Let's talk about travel. If you could time travel, where would you land?
Ooh. I my first thought for some reason was going back to the dinosaur age. I don't know why that.
Really?
Yeah, maybe that's because one of the first books that I or one of the first book series that I ever got into was The Magic Tree House when I was a kid, and the first book is Dinosaurs Before Dawn, and so that's kind of what popped into my head for some reason.
Lot of people want to go back. I don't. I want to go to the future. I want to go to like
Yeah.
3,000. I want to see what they're doing there. If you were an animal, what animal would you be and why?
One of my favorite animals these days is a fox because they're just like so cute, but also like really smart and like just fun to be around.
Never had a fox. I think I'd be an elephant. They're big, they're strong, they travel in prides. They're good parents, they're vegetarians, and they never forget. I
Yeah,
like that.
that's a good skill to have.
What would you tell an inspiring author, someone that wants to write a book, but just doesn't know where to begin?
I would say write every day as much as you can. I know there's kind of that pressure of like, oh, if I don't write every day, it's not going to work. But writing every day could mean, you just pen down your thoughts for the day, or you create a social media post, or any little thing that comes up. It's more just about creating that habit of, okay, I'm gonna write, I'm gonna feel good about it, and whatever you create, it doesn't matter. It's just about getting in that habit of creating and start writing and finding your voice and what you want to say with
A lot of times people think that they need to write their book from the onset chronologically, this, that, and the other. Write just chapters, like you say, and then work with an editor and they will help you put it together. They will help you put, make sense because sometimes you see movies that start at the end,
it. Yeah.
work backwards, or in the middle, and they have all these different, different areas of interjection where the scene changes. Do you ever see yourself moving beyond book editing, maybe writing a screenplay, writing a play, writing a Netflix? writing a script. Have you ever thought about those type of things?
Script writing, not too much. Like, I mean, it could be interesting if I had maybe like a partner to work on that with, because I'm not as well versed with like screenwriting and those little details that need to be in there as well. You know, I have a few ideas of I want to write a memoir about a health journey that I had the last few years, and then a trilogy for an inspirational fiction story, kind of about this woman that has like this nomadic lifestyle. But for the most part, I'm pretty happy with where I'm at. You know, I just want to, you know, get more writing done and just keep connecting with more and more people. It seems to be like it took me a long time to get here, but I feel like I've definitely found, you know, what I'm really meant to do.
Yeah, well, good. You know, it's always a journey and it's ever evolving. And I always like to spark people's curiosity and whet their appetite. You might get off this interview and go, you know what? I never thought about that, but let me look at this one in addition to what I'm doing. So, tell us a little bit about some of the books that you have written personally.
Yeah, so I've written three. They're not currently published because I wanted to, they were published when I first started my writing journey, and I kind of just want to see what else I can do with it and see if I want to revamp it. But the first one was a short story collection, just kind of contemporary fiction, different. I was really interested in learning about different mental health conditions and things like that. So there's kind of themes along there in that. I co-wrote a poetry collection, which I do have a few copies left that I'm selling on my website store. And I wrote I want to call it a personal development slash self-help kind of style book. There's different themes of just, you know, I basically call it like a collection of like blog posts of things that I created, of just kind of my thoughts on like social media and, you know, clothes and just being who you are and different things like that. It's called Discovering Your Worth, Happiness Through Confidence. So I feel like that really, and that's really what ignited all this with my branding with sunflowers and everything. That's really what clicked for me of just like, oh, this is what I need to do, right? So I'm really proud of that one.
Now you've mentioned, so I was, because that was one of my next questions. If you were a flower in the garden, what flower would you be? And I know it's a sunflower. Why do you resonate so deeply with the sunflower?
Yeah, I think it really just snowballed into representing who I am and what I wanted to do with my business. And yellow and green and those colors just really came to me and are just so vibrant and bright. You know, I didn't want to be too like neutral with my branding and everything, and just, you know, like the neutral colors, earthy tones, that kind of thing. I wanted to do something more bright and something that would stand out a little bit more. So that just felt like something that was really powerful, and you know, it's strong. And one metaphor I kind of talk about a lot is when the sunflower, they follow the sun, right? But when you're a sunflower writer, you're kind of following your own type of light, and you're following your heart. So it's kind of like you are a sunflower, and it just, these things just kind of come to me. And you know, with interactions with other writers and coaches and just talking about sunflowers, it just makes you feel so passionate and happy. And that's what I want for other writers.
They do, and a sunflower is, you know, it's a very strong flower. It's deeply rooted. It lasts a long time, but it also pollinates and it gives seeds that are nourishing. So I can see how that could fit in your brand really well. Thank you so much, Kirsten, for being here with us on the Edge. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, to work with you, maybe consult with you and see how, you know, because she's a point and a click away. She doesn't have to be your next door neighbor. You can send everything electronically and get some consultation, get some advice, get some quotes and pricing. Because again, when you are in print, people are, you know, they have an expectation. I shouldn't say they're judging, but they have an expectation. And that expectation should be excellence. So tell them how to get in contact with you.
Yeah, so thank you so much for having me on, and pardon me. And so thank you so much, April, and thank you to the brains. I am mainly on Instagram, confident.kirsten, and my website is worthywriters.ca. I'm running a 5-day challenge, free 5-day challenge called Create Your Worthy Writer's Lifestyle, which really matches with everything we've talked about today. So if you want to create your life one step at a time and really just figure out how to make more time for writing and more time for what you love, that'll be a great place to just explore, figure out, get that next step going. And I've really been pushing my one-to-one coaching these days. I love working one-to-one and having that personal connection. So yeah, if you want to reach out, just go to my Instagram or my website, and I'm usually pretty quick to respond.
Well, brains, you don't know what you don't know. And so try it. The old adage is there is a book inside of each and every one of us. But the question is what story do you want to tell? Thank you so much for sharing your story, your wisdom, and your confidence with us here on the Edge. Brains, go in right here. Love, like, share, and subscribe. Love, like, share, and subscribe. YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, we're all over the planet. We are there writing the story of you. Bye, Kirsten.